The Python 411 podcast series is information about Python for those learning Python and learning to use Python. And this particular podcast is about the FireDrop 2 blogging tool created by Hans Nowak, written in Python, extensible in Python. It's a blogging tool and also a content management tool for the web. Now, I've been using FireDrop for well over 2 years, and I find it to be an exquisitely good tool, and I'm very excited about it. I think it's a perfect kind of program tool written in Python, open source, that allows you to learn how to use a Python program better, and by studying the source code to learn, and also you can create your own plugins, and there's a lot to learn by doing that. So this could be a long-term project for someone. If you're just new to Python and you want a project to work on, this would be a good one. I'm going to dwell quite a bit on how to install the program, because that is a big part of using it, and then how to use it, of course. And maybe I'll have follow-up podcasts to talk more about the plugin system, and I hope to create some plugins of my own to code them in Python so I could walk you through that. So here we go. FireDrop, as I say, was created by Hans Nowak. I'll put a link to that website. And, in fact, I'll have a lot of links in the show notes. The show notes for this will be in my blog, which is, of course, managed and run by FireDrop. And my blog can be found at www.awaretech.com/weblog. And it is a lot of links there will be how to find everything I'm talking about in this podcast. And the reason I'm going to talk a lot about installation is because it's not particularly hard to install, but there are a lot of programs that FireDrop depends on. And I myself, in the course of almost 3 years of using it now, I run it on the Mac. Before that, I ran it on Linux. I've also run it on Windows. And in particular on Linux and on the Mac, I've had problems when I upgraded to a new operating system level or a new Python or a new version of WXPython. So let me walk you through the installation, because if you're like me, you might have to do it more than once as you upgrade versions. So Python, you can use basically anything, Python 2.2, 2.3, or 2.4. I'm currently using 2.4. And it then depends on the WXPython system, which is a GUI frameworks toolkit. One of the best, as you know, if you listen to my podcast on GUI toolkits, Tkinter is the definitive one, but WXPython is coming on strong. WXPython is favored because it gives very good looking GUIs on any platform, looking native to Windows or Mac or Linux. And the downside is WXPython, in my opinion, can sometimes be a little difficult to get installed on some platforms because of the many dependencies involved. It's usually much easier, in my experience, to install on Windows than any other platform. And even though I don't use Windows primarily, I will admit that that is the easiest. And if you're using that, that'll be an advantage. So WXPython. And then on top of that, Hans Nowak has created a brilliant tool called Wax, which sits on top of WXPython and makes the entire GUI toolkit framework more Pythonic. So Wax is a really interesting development project. I know Hans has gotten some help, interns from the recent exercise for summer interns. I think Google was involved in that. And on the Pythonic side, certainly, he was able to get a couple interns to help out on Wax, to develop Wax. And I hope I got that right, Hans. If not, I'll correct it in the next podcast. But I think Wax is very Pythonic. And so you have to install WXPython and then Wax and then FireDrop. And on top of FireDrop, you can install a plugin module, which was created by Fuzzy Man, who I will have a link to his website. And he's done a lot of great work on FireDrop, supplementing what Hans has done. Hans, the original creator of FireDrop 2. Interestingly, Hans did another blogging tool before FireDrop, immediately before, which I also used, called Kaa, K-A-A. And it was based on Tkinter, and I used it, and it was wonderful. But when Hans switched over to use WXPython to FireDrop, I certainly switched, and I think it's the right one to use. So let's go right into installation. Let's say you have Python. Hopefully you only have one Python version on your system. Unlike me, I have several versions of Python, which makes it more difficult. And, you know, I don't recommend having more than one Python version on your system, but certainly I do. But you can do it either way. But assuming you only have one, hopefully, you go to the main thing is that everything you're going to install in order to use FireDrop needs to be installed in your site packages directory. So if you're on Windows, which perhaps most of you will be, that usually will be, if you start on the C drive, it'll be in your backslash Python, in my case, Python 24, because I have several versions, but Python, your most recent Python or your only Python, then backslash lib, capital L, backslash site packages. And then in that site packages, you will need to have a version of WXPython installed, and then WAX, and then FireDrop as a minimum. Now, I'll have links to all this, and in fact, I have a tutorial that I wrote. I wrote it a couple years ago, but it's still valid. I've checked it, I've read through it, and I think everything in there is still valid. And it's on my website, and I'll have a link to it in the show notes. So no problem, and you can walk right through that. But I think sometimes it helps to hear it said in general before you sit down to work through the tutorial and do the installation. So first, let's say you want to install WXPython. You go to the link that I will provide to go to the download WXPython. The latest version is 2.6.1. I certainly recommend using 2.6.1, although you can use earlier versions. Now, one thing I need to stress more than... There's two things I need to stress in this podcast. The first one is this. Versions matter. You must have the exactly right version of Python, WXPython, WAX, and FireDrop to work together. So a particular version of WAX may work on only the more recent WXPythons or only on the older WXPythons. So in general, it's best to use the most recent version of each. But in some cases, that's not possible. Sometimes when WXPython comes out with a new version, which is quite frequently, WAX will not be compatible until Hans comes out with the next version. But Hans, for instance, right now, I'm using WAX 0.3.8, which is only available from CVS, come to think of it. So if you don't know how to use CVS, the most recent stable version of WAX uses an earlier version of WXPython. So I'll walk you through that. Basically, get the WXPython 2.6.1 if you're going to use WAX 0.3.8 from CVS. If you're going to use the most stable WAX, which is like 2.7, then you need to install an earlier version of WXPython, which would be probably 2.5 point something. And, you know, I'll put this in the show notes, and I think hopefully it won't be a problem. If you have any problem with any of this, just obviously send me a note from my email site, and I will jump right on it. And once you've downloaded WXPython and there's an .exe executable file for Windows to install it, remember it has to be installed into site packages. On the Mac, it'll be a DMG file, which Stuffit will automatically install. And on Linux, it'll be a tarball, that, you know, a tar.gz that you can uncompress and install. Shouldn't be any problem. Just make sure you put it into the site packages. I should say that on the Macintosh, it's a little more complicated path to get to the right place. On my Mac, which is running Tiger, you'll find it in, let me get this right. You have to go to /libraries/frameworks/python.frameworks/versions/2.3/lib(l)/python 2.4 in my case, /site packages. So it has to go there. I don't know where it is exactly on Linux or BSD, but hopefully you can find that. Once you install WXPython correct version into that place, you also need to make sure that the final installed WXPython version, and this is the second point. Remember the first point that I said I have to emphasize is that the versions must match. They must go together. The second point is that all the packages not only must be in all these folders for WAX, WXPython, and FireDrop, not only must they all be in the site packages directory, no matter what platform you're on, but they must also be named exactly the right thing. If they're not named exactly right, then the programs won't work together. So in the case of WXPython, this folder needs to be named WXPython. Little WX, capital P, and then the rest YTHON. This will be in the tutorial, and you can follow that. But it can't be named WXPython-2.6.1 or 2.5.x. No, it's got to be WXPython. So in some cases, you have to rename it after the installation process. If you don't, it won't work. Okay. Now, and believe me, I'm stressing this because I spent endless hours backtracking to figure out that I made these mistakes because I'm fairly careless. Hopefully you're not. But, okay, once you've got WXPython installed in your site packages directory, and in some cases you may have to run python setup.py install, then you go to WAX and you download WAX from Han's website. Again, the most current stable version, 2.7 or 2.8, if you're using WXPython 2.5 point something, you will install that into your site directories. And you do have to run, at least on the Mac, you have to run python setup.py install. And then the folder is automatically named WAX, but if not, you have to rename that folder WAX if it's named WX slash something or WAX dash 0.2.5 or 0.3.7 or something like that. So once you've got WAX installed in that way, then it's time to install FireDrop. Now, on Hans Nowak's website, the latest FireDrop, I forget the version number. I think, hold on here. It is, I forget. There's also, once you download that, what I usually do is put the installer right in the site packages directory before I install it, unless your system does it automatically. But FireDrop will go in there, and you'll have a FireDrop 2 directory. Now, it has to be named FireDrop 2. So the names of your site packages folders have to be FireDrop 2, not FireDrop without the 2. FireDrop 2, WAX, and WXPython. Now, once you've done that, there's a little bit more work and to do in order to use this. And because remember, you're going to be managing a web log or a whole website. Now, by the way, my AwareTech website, not only do I manage the blog using FireDrop 2, I manage the entire website using FireDrop 2. So you can have a folder for each website or each blog that you manage. And in my case, I have one folder for my weblog and a completely separate folder for my entire website. In this podcast, I'm only going to talk about how you set up a folder for a blog. It's almost exactly the same for a website, except that it's not a blog and you don't have an RSS feed for a website. So slightly different. But if you're setting up a blog, which is how most people are first going to use FireDrop 2, I think that... we'll go right into that, and I'm looking at the tutorial I wrote as I go. And in my tutorial, I show printouts of the screen of the GUI for FireDrop 2. So the FireDrop 2 GUI that Hans has created is coded in WAX on top of WXPython, and you'll see a window that includes several buttons. There's a button. Before I go through the buttons, along the top, there is a sub-window or a frame to the left column, and then there is a big frame in the middle of the page or your screen, and I'm going to open that right now on my computer. Okay, on my computer now, I'm looking at the FireDrop GUI, and basically the window on the left, you'll see a list of your entries, each blog entry. You'll start out with none, of course. Then on the right-hand side, you'll have a place where a new entry is composed. Along the top, you have quite a few buttons. The buttons include, starting on the far left, an open button. And that's what you'll start with. You'll have to click open, and then you'll have to go to where you have set up a folder for your weblog and open it. So on my computer, I put the weblog distro 2, is how I named it, for AwareTech. You probably... more likely for a blog named AwareTech would name your folder AwareTech. For some reason, I named my website AwareTech, so I do that. So for my weblog, I call it Weblog Distro 2. You can call it whatever you want, but that folder, I put it in my home directory. You can put it in your home directory or wherever you want, but when you click open, you will go and open that directory. Now, here's the key. In that directory, there are two files that you have to set up yourself to lay out the framework for your blog. One is called the... What you want to do inside your weblog folder, wherever you put it in your home directory or wherever, you want to go in there and create another subfolder called weblog underscore HTML. This folder will be used to hold your actual weblog HTML file. Now, on the FireDrop GUI, you click that open button in the upper left-hand corner. And what will happen is the FireDrop GUI will open up something, a little dialog box, and you want to click New Site and then click Open Site. And when you click on New Site and the dialog box opens, you must choose between creating an article collection or a weblog. Now, an article collection is what I use to run my whole website. But if you click on weblog, that's what we want to do at this point. And then you must choose a directory where you're going to put your new folder called weblog that you just created. So you tell it where it's going to go. You click OK, and FireDrop 2 will fill in your weblog folder automatically, automagically, as Hans would call it, with three files, build.ini, build.py, actually four files, page_template.html, and entry_template.html. These four files are very important. Build.py is going to build your website every time you make a new entry or change it, build your weblog again. Build.ini tells it how to build your weblog. And then the page template tells it how the page is laid out, and the entry template how each entry is laid out. So these four pages are very important, and you need to customize them slightly. And this is really the whole key to setting up your weblog and your FireDrop weblog. So before you make that first entry, you go into let's go into build.ini. So it's to initialize your build.py. Again, this is all covered in the tutorial in writing, so you can follow this in writing, but I think it helps to hear it. First, you're going to have something called output underscore directory. So output directory, in my case, it's weblog underscore HTML. Archive method, not very important at this time. I think you can go with the default. Page template and entry template. There's a lot of things like that in there. Now, I'm only going to talk about the things here that you need to customize. Front page name, for me, is index.html for most people. Root underscore URL, you put the URL to your weblog. So in my case, it's http, www.awaretech.com/weblog. And then categories. Under categories, I put philosophy, general, FireDrop, Python, and poetry. Categories is a list. It's a Python list. So you can put inside that list anything that you want to be able to categorize your entries into your weblog with. The title of your weblog, in my case it's a WareTech weblog. I didn't even fill in their description yet, I should have. Now we come to the really most important part you have to fill in. The next five things are how it's going to automatically upload to your FTP server, if you're using one, which I am and I know a lot of people do. The FTP server, in my case, it's called AwareTech something. In your case, you've got to know what it's called. FTP login, you put your login chain. FTP port, 21 or whatever it is. FTP password, XXXXX, whatever your password is. FTP start directory, this will be the directory that you have to go to in your weblog server in order to put your weblog files. RSS file name. Index.xml, macro file name, macros.py, and those are pretty much the ones you have to customize. If you go with the automatic, it'll all work as long as you put the output directory correctly to match up with what you set up, and your FTP upload automatic won't work until you fill that in. If you don't know how to fill that in, or if you're just playing with creating a weblog on your home computer right now, then fine. You can once you've created the new HTML files under weblog HTML, you can move them manually. It's just if you want to upgrade automatically with FTP that you have to fill those in. So you open that up simply and build it, your build.ini, and fill in all that information. And then you're through. Save it in the same weblog underscore HTML folder. And then open up your page underscore template HTML, and you'll see the default setup for your blog page. You can customize it any way you want. And that's really more like a CSS layout type job, so I'm not going to go through that here. So then you can open up your entry template and customize that any way you want. And really, that's it. You're ready to open your first weblog. So go into the GUI, click the open button, and open your it'll open up a file browser, navigate to your weblog folder that you recently created and that has been populated by build.ini by FireDrop 2, and just open it. But accepting it, it will open, and it'll be empty because you haven't created any actual blog posts yet. So let's create a new blog post. Remember, those will go in that right-hand column on the GUI. To create a new blog post, just click New, and on the top of the blog post window, above the two dash items, let me do this right now. Okay. Then you'll create, there are two dash items. Above the dash items, you don't want to touch anything up there unless you want to modify them. They are the insert date and the modified date, and then also categories. It won't be there unless you put it in, but if you listed a list in your build.ini of categories like I did, then you just want to put that list in up there for categories. Now, below the two dash lines, you just start typing your blog post. Now, there are some subtleties that you can do because I use something called Sextile to make it easier to create blog entries that Hans created, but seeing how long this is going, I'm going to skip that part and cover it in a future podcast, perhaps. But so you can just start typing below those two dashes. Hello world, was my first blog entry. Type hello world, and after you've entered it, then you just you click save, then you click build. There's buttons for these along the top, and you'll see it build. Wait till it finishes building. Then you can click a preview button to preview and see what it's going to look like. And then upload. If you filled in the FTP pages that we talked about, then you can click upload and it'll automatically upload. Otherwise, you could move it manually outside of FireDrop, so no problem. Hans has also put in a one-click button along the top, which will do both save, build, and preview. No, not preview, just save, build, and upload all at once. I don't use that personally, but it makes it even easier, I presume, if you decide to use that. So basically, you've just created your first blog post. Now, in my tutorial, my mini how-to, I go on to do a lot more fancy descriptions of fancy things like using Sextile that I do, and macros, all those kind of things that you don't need to use, and I think I'm going to not cover them for now. Okay, that's pretty much the basics, and I don't want to get this too complicated, but there's more covered in the tutorial or mini how-to, and I just want to make the comment that all this is written in Python. So in addition to using this GUI, you can work from the command line and do all of this, and you can customize it in Python. And Hans specifically wrote this program, FireDrop 2, to make it easy to customize in Python. One of the people to take him up on that is the gentleman called Fuzzy Man. Fuzzy, I'm going to have to remember your real name. Yeah, Fuzzy Man, who I will link to, has created on his website, Void Space, a whole Python and FireDrop 2 section. And he has created a plug-in module that makes it easy for you to write your own plugins. Now, I haven't done this yet, but I'm going to. And I do use Fuzzy's plugin module. And there are several plugins that he wrote, like a spell checker that automatically spell checks your blog entries, which is very helpful. And I really recommend that you go and check out his page. He even has his own distribution of FireDrop 2. So I highly recommend that, and I will link to it. And Hans is continually upgrading this. Fuzzy Man's working on it, and you can write new plugins yourself. So this is a tremendous Python programming project. So this is kind of an experiment. This is the first time I've tried to do a detailed mini how-to or tutorial verbally with a podcast. Let me know if it works or not. Especially, I think it will work in conjunction with my written mini how-to. If you listen to, I think it would have helped me to be able to listen to something like this once or maybe even twice before I read the tutorial and tried to install it. There's nothing hard about it at all, but it takes some attention to detail. The big details, again, put everything in the site packages subdirectory, and put Wax and WX, first WXPython, then Wax, then FireDrop 2, and make sure they're named exactly correctly with compatible versions, and you'll be okay. Now, what I plan to do in the near future on this podcast series, Python 411, I'm thinking of doing a similar series about Python Card, which is a very good graphical GUI creator, again, built on top of WXPython. So it's very different from WAX. WAX takes the WXPython toolkit, and on top of that, the WAX module makes it much more Pythonic. But you do it all from the command line, just like you do with WXPython. Python Card is a framework which sits on top of WXPython, which allows you to create a, graphically, to do a point and click. You pick a button or a control, you move it onto a screen, sort of like you would in Visual Basic or Delphi, and you position it, then you build the controls, and then you attach it to your Python code for the logic of your program. And I found it to be the easiest way to create a simple GUI using Python by far. So I plan on doing a podcast to go through the installation of Python Card and then the basics of creating a simple program. I've created four programs myself using Python Card. They're all fairly simple, but I think I'll double check. It's been a while since I've looked at them. Make sure they work with the latest version of Python Card, and then do a podcast of how I created them and how you can modify them or create your own. Another thing that was requested by someone that I think is a good idea is CGI. I hope to do a little podcast on simple CGI programming using Python. I'm certainly not an expert, but I've done a few simple CGI programs that work using Python with my remote web server. And again, this is something that is conceptually extremely easy. But it took me a long time, frankly, to get my first CGI program working, simply because of the stupid mistakes that I made, that if I could just steer you away from them with a short podcast, I think it can be shorter than this podcast, but just a simple, here's how you do CGI, and have some notes on the website, on the show notes, and hopefully help walk you through creating a simple CGI so that you can take a basic Python program that you've created with a command line version and make it work on the web so that users can enter their information or the feedback on the web, through the web, and then it works on the server with your logic to generate the output to the web, to the user. So that's kind of neat. So you can use CGI to do that on the web, or you can use Python Card, for instance, or WAX, to create simple user interaction GUIs on an operating system without using the web. And I haven't really done any WAX programming yet. I hope to get around to that. And when I do, maybe I'll do a little podcast on that also. There's so many things that can be done. So looking forward to all of it. And please let me know if this works for you at all. If not, I'll try a different format, a different way of doing these podcasts for Python 411. I think we'll all agree Python is the most fun and useful and easiest to learn programming language in the entire world. So for now, hey, go over to podcast. If you enjoy this, go over to Podcast Alley and vote for Python 411. I've got a one-click link on my website now that makes it easy to do. You might also be interested, perhaps, in my other podcast series that I just called the Aware Tech podcast series, which is on the same website at awaretech.com/podcast. And the Aware Tech site, I do cover some technical topics. In fact, I just did one called Unix, where I talked about the joys of Unix. But it's not just about technical subjects. It's about science and the future and spirituality and philosophy. So that's why I separated it into two separate podcast series. So there you go. Have a great day, whatever day it is you listen to this, and come back again. And I strongly urge you to subscribe to this website because on my RSS feed, because I don't know how often I'm going to be updating the Python 411 series. Right now I have a lot of ideas in mind, so maybe often, but I have limited time. So one thing's for sure, if you're subscribed, you don't have to worry about it. It'll show up automatically when I create a new version, and if it appeals to you, you can listen to it. Okay. So over and out for now from Python 411, computer programming for everybody.